This is Tracy.
I'm Jason.
And this is Kurt.
And this is the MFG cast.
Nailed it.
Did you like how my voice was?
Yeah, I was like, you didn't.
I always have to do the voice. Kurt voice. I try.
That's the Kurt voice?
I don't know.
What? Which Kurt?
When you like to know. Sorry, guys. You know where you are? You're at the MFG Cast podcast. No? Nobody? Kurt?
I know where I am.
Yeah, where okay. are we going with this?
Good. Hey, welcome, guys. And gals, and non-binary friends, and all the things in between.
That's right.
We're going to talk today about Middle Ages. Middle Ages is a game by...
Wow, I can't read that, though.
Marc-Andre. And illustrated by Claire. Is that Conan?
Conan, yeah.
Okay, I couldn't tell whether that was a C or an L. Placed about 30 minutes, 2 to 5 players, and 10 and up. And this game... We picked up when we were on a little vacay getaway, and it was recommended to us by someone at a board game store.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, why the heck not? Let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, and the front looks so cool. The art, amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like stained glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Who wants to talk about it?
I'll talk about it.
Okay.
So the goal of the game is to be the richest player at the end of the 16th round.
Dollar bills, y'all. Yeah.
Middle age.
Gold coins.
Gold coins, y'all. Yeah. It doesn't work as good. Gold coins.
What they've got other stuff in here, too. They've even got, like, they've got rubies. They've got diamonds for when you get more coins and stuff like that. So.
Oh, is that what those were supposed to be? The different colors? Oh, okay. That does make sense. I guess I never really looked at it. Yeah. I did see the diamonds, but yeah, diamonds, rubies.
So you're a lord or lady. You just want to be rich. So instead,
we want to go riches, all, y'all. Never mind.
Nailed it. I'm gonna clip that and I'm gonna make it my ringtone.
That's why it's easier to go dollar bills, y'all.
It's true.
Wow.
It's true. Yeah, no one was definitely.
This
saying...
This is my last episode.
No one was saying gold coins, y'all, back in the day for sure. It's also published by Studio H. If you.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, see, yeah, that's why I don't usually start.
Yeah. So basically, what's happening is you're ahead of a fiefdom. You're trying to build up that fiefdom. You're trying to grab all that gold, all those coins, all those rubies and diamonds.
You should see his hands moving.
They can't.
Yes, they can.
I said they should see him.
And
picture it.
What you're doing is you're taking, depending upon the player order, the player count, you're taking tiles, either blue and orange, and you're going to be laying that, you're going to be mixing up those piles, you're going to put them into some nice little piles for grabbing. You're going to put out some rows, it's going to be rows of, depending upon how many players there are, it's going to be the players plus one. So if there's three players, it's going to be four, a four count in a row. And you're always doing four rows at a time, because then eventually what's going to happen is you're going to... Well, actually, it's four rows to start, and then you're just going to be filling those rows as you go. And you're going to be doing them, like I said, player count plus one, and then four rows. And you're also going to be taking whatever tiles you have, you're going to look at the back, and you're going to be doing them from left to right in ascending order. So if you have, like, an 8, a 9, a 10, 11, it's going to go 8, 9, 10, 11. If you have, like, a 2, a 6, a 10, and a 12, it's going to go 2, 6, 10, 12. And then you're going to go down that way, okay? So once you have that set up, you're going to take your lord or lady to start off, and you're going to figure out who's first player. It's random. And the first person is going to be taking that lord or lady and putting it out on one of those tiles. And there's a method to that madness, but we'll talk about that in a second. And then the person going clockwise is going to put another one down, and so on and so forth, until someone has one down the row. Eventually, there's going to be a tile that is not taken. So you're going to take that tile, get it off of that row, and discard it. And then people are going to be doing special abilities and collecting coins and stuff like that once they put it on their board. So what are some of the things that you do when you take those tiles? So, like, Tracy, what's one of the tiles that you can take and do with it?
You can take a tile that has a field icon. It looks like a piece of wheat.
Yes.
I believe. And if you place that on the top of your fiefdom board or your player board, then you can collect one gold for every other, or not every other, for every farmer you have displayed on your fiefdom.
Yep, which is the tiles that you have on that board.
Including the tile you placed if it includes a farmer. And then also down on that player board is for any field symbol you also display on those tiles above in your, I want to call it a kingdom.
Kingdom, fiefdom.
It is fiefdom, village, yeah. Whatever. I would never use the word fiefdom. So you also collect 2 gold for your riches.
I'm not sure what accent that was, but I liked it.
Did you? Do you want me to talk like that more?
No.
Okay. Okay, fine. Fine. Fine, Jason.
Jason, what's another one that you could do during your turn?
Explaining these is not my thing. Nope, can't do it. This one is a little bit more complicated, I think, than is maybe necessary with some of the
stuff. Just pick an easy one.
Pick one of the easy ones.
That's why I picked an easy one.
Oh. Along with what I was saying, the instructions on this, there's a lot of moving parts to this one. I like the game. I really do. But there's a lot to it, and they need to add, I think, a card or something, because I'm looking at it, and I can't tell you what any of this means. Like, okay. Being put on the spot like this, okay. I have no idea what any of this
take
is.
Take a deep breath, don't get anxiety. Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm trying to talk.
No.
Isn't that why we're here?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, let's do another one. There's another one. It is, this one's called the Cathedral. Cathedral, whatever. And when you place one above your board in your fiefdom, you collect one of these little enhancement tokens that you can place on the board below to collect another coin for any of your other spaces, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then also you collect 3 coins for any other church symbol you locate on your fiefdom, including the one you just placed.
Yeah, and I do agree with Jason. I think you should have like maybe a little like player card reference or something like that.
I like games where they do that, but yeah, this one, like, it all makes sense. By the end of the game, it really, like, I got it. I was going through, but even looking at it right now, where it's been a couple of days since we've played, the symbols mean nothing. Like, if you don't know what they mean, they don't mean anything. So having a card like there to explain it would definitely be a good thing. And I like games where they have that, especially if you haven't played this game. And, you know, like our game group, we switch it every single week where we just play something different. So if you're playing this one regularly, then maybe their symbols would make sense and you'd be able to go forward with it. But I think that you just have to have something to kind of explain it, because just looking at the board, it's not one where you're going to look at it and not read the instructions and kind of figure it out as you go. That's for sure. It does play really well. It's it's an easy game to play, I think, for the most part. Gives you decisions. There's always something to do. I think every one of these I say, like, I like games where there's always something for me to do every turn, no matter what. And this is definitely one of those games where I had no idea who was winning or losing the entire game. Like, I didn't know. I just knew what I was trying to do and what was happening. And I liked that. I say that in a good way. Like, I liked that because there was always something to do. I was always going for what I wanted to do. But the symbols, although the art's really cool, it does look really neat. The whole, like, your fiefdom is all stained glass and whatever. It looks really cool. The play goes by very well, but trying to just kind of figure out what is there is a little bit tricky on it. But other than that, like, the gameplay is really cool. Like, it's fun. It's a good game. I like it. I would definitely play this one multiple times.
Yeah, for sure. So let's we'll still talk about like what the certain things mean, just to kind of for reference and stuff like that. Just because I know that, especially when if someone's listening to this to kind of play this game, like it's nice to have that reference because, like you know, like we'll do like we'll send videos and be like, hey, watch this video before you play, because then maybe it'll help you kind of remember some of the things that are happening. It's not guaranteed, that's for right. sure, but you know, it definitely does help.
Yeah, there's a lot to this game, but once you kind of get it down, it's not that difficult. All the concepts are the same for everything. It's just there's quite a bit, but yeah. every single row, because what do we got? 2, 4, 6, there's 8 different parts to your fiefdom that you could have, and every single one of them has a different action that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not on the board. So having something, just tell me what my actions are, and then we can go. But your actions are simple. It's collect gold coins and money or whatever for whichever cards you play, and it's usually got 2 things. So, like, if you play 1, it'll tell you to collect money for 2 other things that you've got. And mm-hmm. and that really is the whole game. It's like, yeah. if you play this card, collect money for this, or your opponents have to give you money, or you have to give your opponents money. Like, it's pretty basic when it comes down to that. But yeah. each one is just different enough, or it makes it fun to play, where there is some strategy and some thought to it, remembering which ones they are with the lack of it actually written out anywhere other than the instructions is probably the only downfall of this game in my eyes, anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a couple of those other things then. So, like, one that I'll kind of put together, so, like, there's this thing called a rampart, which kind of looks like a tower or whatever. And if you build that up, it helps you from getting attacked from the barracks. So the barracks has kind of like the swords or whatever, and if at any point you have more barracks than someone has ramparts, they have to give you 2 coins, each player does, plus they have to destroy one of their parts of their fiefdom, starting from the leftmost spot and the highest spot, and getting rid of that. So that helps as far as like getting coins from someone else to give to yourself, but also attacking them to make their situation get worse.
I like some of that gameplay too, with where you can go at your opponents, but it's not like you're taking stuff away, but the harm that is being caused, like you're not going to ruin somebody's game. Like yeah. there's some games where it's like, come on, man. Like I just set up this whole thing and you just ruined my game for me. And now mm-hmm. there's no way I can lose because you came at me, which like, it's nice to have some of those games sometimes, but also it's like, well, great. That yeah. sucks because I just spent this whole game and you just, with one move, wasted me. And now I can't win and yeah. whatever. Where this game isn't like that. But you can play some of that strategy and go after each other. But it's not so brutal where you're going to, like, make your opponent, your friends mad at you.
Yeah. Because
you're not going to ruin their night. It's fun attacking your yeah. friends kind of way, where it's not so brutal.
Yeah, it doesn't like, make you mad every yeah, time it happens.
It's like, aw, you duty head, as opposed to you MF-er. Like,
yeah,
you know, that little bit of different level
yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
So,
well,
yeah.
and to tackle on to what Jason said is that, like, it's more of a friendly attack because if they have to destroy something, they're not destroying it out of the game. They're destroying it into their cemetery, where there's an opportunity for another tile that you can gather called your village. And the village will actually resurrect that tile from the cemetery, and you can bring that back into play in your fiefdom. So that those paired together really nice. So if somebody is on the attack in your fiefdom and they make you quote unquote destroy a tile, if you collect a village and place it in, you can always bring that tile back. You just don't collect the benefits of placing it back in again. You don't get those coins and things as if you collected it through the selection process that yeah. Kurt was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Well, and none of them is so OP, as the kids like to say.
Yeah.
None of them is so overpowered that it, like, you don't have everybody in the game going for one specific column, because that column is going to hurt everybody else so much or give you so much more, that depending on how you play it, yeah. every single one, there's always a counter to everything, and usually a couple different counters to any of those going, where yeah. you might get it where, like you said, if there's one of them where you draw and you collect coins from everybody that's got fewer on another one of those. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Somebody else, for one, you can just build up ahead of that so you can protect yourself. Or you can go and build somewhere else where it's going to just give you more coins back anyway and potentially go after the way that they're playing their game. So there's always multiple counters to that, as opposed to like, well, great, Tracy's got four cathedrals, so I guess Tracy's going to win because she's just wiping us out this game. There's always a counter to it in a fun way, too.
Yeah.
Well, and then something to keep in mind as you're building up your fiefdom, You're building it up like you're protecting your people, if you had people you were playing, but you also have to keep in mind that you have to have something in each of the spaces on each of these. What do they call those? You have to collect a plot tile for each of these different types. So the fields, the mills, the villages, you know, all those different types that we talked about. What are there, eight?
Yep.
Because if you don't have a tile covering each of those different sections.
At least one.
Yep. At the end of the game, then you actually lose 10 gold coins at the end of the game for each section you don't have at least one tile covering. So that also helps with the I'm going to try to dominate a certain section, because people are trying to acquire different areas of their fiefdom so that they don't lose 10 coins here, 10 coins there. They're trying to span across the board so that they're not dominating in the mill or in the barracks or something like that too. Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah.
Like it kind of balances it out.
And that's why I kind of like, because it's like there's different strategies to win this game. So like with the mill, which we didn't talk about, like if you have more mills than other people, if you have them, you collect 2 coins from each player that you have more mills than.
Yep.
So it's like, that's a strategy. I just keep building up my mills and have one on the other ones just to kind of keep that going. And I could get coins from everybody else. That keeps them from having coins, and it keeps me having more coins.
But that's saying that these other tiles or these other items or these other areas are available to grab.
Yeah.
From this area, because you may not see these for a while.
Yeah.
Well, and the taking of coins from your opponents and stuff, like you said, where it's just a couple of them, where it can definitely add up.
Yes.
And consistently, if you can take it so that every single turn you're forcing your opponents to have to give you coins or whatever, is definitely a good strategy. But taking 2 coins out of my hand once every round is not a big enough deal where it's like, great, thanks, Kurt. Now I'm giving you my coins and there's no, you know.
Yeah.
Again, it kind of like I was saying before, there's ways to counter that. So you taking my 2 coins doesn't screw my whole game.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, or it's like a thing if somebody has too many mills and then say they don't have a field, if you're using those barracks and they don't have as many ramparts to protect against that fighting, the leftmost thing, if you don't have any fields, is going to be those mills. So you can get rid of some of those mills, and that helps them, or that keeps them from getting overpowered and stuff like that.
So yeah, like it's all how they laid it out is all they have. It's like they considered all of those types of things and the actions that people could potentially play.
Yeah, as we were going through, like I didn't see that right away as we were doing it, and then I don't remember which one of you guys it was pointed out. When I got the barracks that, the ramparts are protecting everything, I was like, oh, once you actually start putting your board together and building your fiefdom, and you more or less you're making a map of your own community, once that map starts to come together, you can really see what's happening. And it's like, oh, yeah, like there is very clearly a lot of thought put into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were talking about with the strategy there, as you're building your fiefdom, your community, if somebody does mess up your strategy, it's very easy to turn and do another strategy within this, because you, whether you're trying to or not, you've got multiple strategies going on at one point.
Yeah.
You may have something that you're focused on, but if somebody blocks you or destroys you or it's not working, it's just not there for you to draw, there's always a way to turn immediately. And because there are so many spaces, there's always, like, you're spread kind of thin on your board no matter what, but everybody is. So you're able to change roles really fast, which I really like.
And one of the things I like, too, going back to when we were talking about River Valley Glassworks, is they tell you how many tiles of each they have in this game. So if you're getting to playing the game, you're like, well, shoot, there's not as many palaces as there are fields. there's not as many barracks as there is mills. So it's like, okay, now you're getting to the later rounds and you're like, shoot, there's not as many of these as I need to, you know, play out my board the way I want it to. So maybe I have to kind of switch out the strategy a little bit, because it's like, okay, I know that, you know, on our boards and in the discard pile, there's a lot of, like, barracks that are gone. So, like, oh, shit, I can't do that one anymore. I have to do something else instead. You know, so it gives you kind of in your head that strategy of, like, okay, well, I can play this a little differently if it comes to that, if people are taking what you want, that kind of thing.
It sounds like math, though.
It is math.
It's fun math, though.
Another thing that adds elements to this are the... I call them objective cards, sort of, but they're not really objective cards. What do they call them? Event cards. Yeah. So every fourth
turn?
Turn?
Yeah, after every
what
fourth
are you
round.
Going like? Why are you showing me an eight?
Fourth, eighth,
oh,
12th,
yeah.
and 16th round.
Yeah, every fourth one. So fourth, mm-hmm. eighth, 12th, and 16th. They show events, and depending on how they're shuffled, some are good and some are not good. So some will give you coins based on what you have. So like an example of one is you could acquire a coin for every farmer that you have in your fiefdom. Whereas we've seen some where if you have a houses in your fiefdom.
You mean the villages?
Villages. Yep. They look like houses.
Yep.
Villages in your fiefdom, and you have a barracks in your fiefdom. That at the end of that, those four turns... then you might have to pay two coins for every house or village. God dang house. or barracks that you have in there.
Yeah. Or you have to get rid of a tile, which is crazy, too.
Yeah, you might have to get rid of it. And remember, getting rid of it doesn't mean it's out of the game. It means it goes in your cemetery, which is right next to your board, and you can resurrect it back again.
Getting those back, though, is... difficult. I don't think I think I maybe one time had an opportunity to get one back just because of the way the board fell. Yeah,
set up.
Yeah. Like if like you can't plan on getting anything back.
See,
from
and
your
I
resurrection.
Think I planned on getting mine back, brought it back, but then you just don't collect the benefits of bringing it back. So it has its pros and cons because
but
you if
definitely
you...
couldn't do that multiple times a game.
No.
You had to be set up. Like, because I don't think I ever had the opportunity. Like, I maybe one time where I could have even made the choice to be able to do that late enough in the game where it would have actually mattered. So, yeah, you because of the way the tiles fall, you kind of, like, you can potentially plan on, well, I'm going to try and get, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to take this one of the three that are in my discard cemetery, whatever.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't count on it because it might just not land to you. Yeah. It may not happen.
And I almost wonder because of that is because we're playing a three-player game and we're not using those orange tiles, so it actually takes away some of each of the different tiles, so you're not getting that much of a chance to do those things.
See, and that benefited me on one of the plays because once I played a village and brought one back, that was the one that... I think it was a field that got taken away from me because of the barracks. And that was the only one I didn't have filled in. I would have lost 10 coins. So that was a benefit to me, even if it didn't help me and give me coins because I placed it back. But it helped me to finish filling my fiefdom at the end of the game.
I did like, too, how it gives us the different action every four rounds. But we can see what they're all going to be before we even start gameplay. So you can kind of try and set yourself up to make sure you're covered. Yep. Where, like, our first two of those four, so at round four and round eight, we were destroying and getting rid of something where we want to have at least one card in each fiefdom slot. So we could look at that and look at the board and say, well, I'm going to have to destroy these. So when it's my turn and I have a choice between up to four different cards, I can say, well, I've got one here right now and I know I'm going to have to destroy one. Either one of these two cards would be equally beneficial for me. I'm going to take the one that I'm going to have to destroy because now I'm going to be covered at the end later in case another one doesn't pop up. So you
like
can,
they're not a surprise.
Right. You can plan that whole thing out and you know at the end, even though I wasn't paying attention and like for, I in my head I thought we were going to have to destroy more and we actually got coins for having more. So you can look at that and go, oh, hey, at the end of the game, I'm going to get this added benefit at this round 16 or bad, I better be prepared because something bad's going to happen, where you can spend your whole game trying to to figure that out, as opposed to, well, it's round four, let's flip over this card and see what awful thing we might have to do. I kind of like that dynamic. I think it would work either way.
Yeah.
But I like nice that we could plan the whole thing. I think it would maybe add another level if you played this game a lot and you were like, you know what? Let's surprise ourselves every four rounds and let's just randomly draw just and see what, that let's is. See what we have to do.
That's like Pandemic when you're like,
Or even Orleans. Orleans, every round you have something, but you can plan for that one round, but you can't plan for the other ones because you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it even something that I saw in the rules here, which I thought was kind of interesting and actually a neat idea, is there, you know, when you're getting rid of some of the tiles on your fiefdom is one of the events, it says, if you have one. So technically, you could be like, you know what, I'm not going to grab any before this event comes out because I don't have to worry about it then. I can collect it next time.
That's why I didn't grab them if I could help it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you almost had to because of how the tiles laid out.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I don't remember which one it is, but there's one where if you had this card, you had to give up two coins. So, like, I'm just not going to pick that one because I don't want to have to give up those two coins.
Yeah, exactly.
You there's a little bit of, if you pay attention, you can set yourself up and steer yourself the other way. Which, I'm never
going to
pay attention.
Which we played this, again, going back to our River Valley Glassworks episode, we played Middle Ages also on Board Game Arena.
Last night.
And it shows you the one event, but it only shows you the one unless you click on it, and then it shows you all four. Uh-huh. So if you don't pay attention and do that, or like I just did it on accident, was like, can they show me the rest? And it did. Then you wouldn't know. So it'd be like kind of a surprise for you.
Adds a whole other layer to the game. This is another one where it's a fairly straightforward game. There's something you're going to be able to do every time. You can plan your strategy, but if your strategy gets messed up, you can switch it up on a dime or on a gold coin. Shut up.
Dollar,
not again. but you can switch right away and you haven't wasted your whole game trying to set something up and somebody else hoses you over. Like I like the game dynamics of that for sure. I will always say I like a game where there's something you can do every time and somebody can't ruin your game. Because I like playing games. I like hanging out with my friends. I don't want somebody to be able to ruin my whole night on it. And, like, I get, like, there's some competitive games. And, like, there's definitely people that are a little bit more competitive when they play than we are. We obviously just get together.
He likes to hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
What? Maybe Roller Coaster from Jonas Brothers. But whatever. Ooh. I like good music. No, I like games where, like, I'm totally fine with going at and being able to harm my opponents in a game and mess with their strategy, but I don't want to ruin somebody's night. Like, that's not fun. Game should, to me, anyway. And everybody on their own. For me, I play games because I like to have fun with my friends. I wasn't a board gamer until my friends, you guys, invited me to come play games with you. I'm here to hang out with my friends. I just happen to get to learn about all these really cool games as I do that. I don't want my night to be ruined. I don't want to ruin somebody else's night. And this is one of those where it's like, hey, I'm going to attack you. And we all laugh. And I like that of it, where it messes with you, makes you think a little bit, but it's not enough to piss anybody off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fun stuff. Yeah.
So, and I think we talked about this, 16 rounds, once the round's over. Obviously, as long as you filled up your whole fiefdom across all eight, then you're good. If you didn't, you have to subtract 10 coins for each section you didn't complete, and then everyone counts up their coins and see who wins. Mm-hmm. I think you and I tied.
Yeah.
Last night in the first game on Board Game Arena, and then I don't know what happened the next one. Did I win?
Yeah, I think you did.
Yep, I won.
Yep, I won.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't remember. Oh, I won.
Kurt, I don't remember. Can you say who won? Oh, man. brutal.
I'm holding his hand now, though, because I feel so bad.
Yeah, she's trying to make up. Sad face.
Aw, buddy. I'm sorry.
No, this is a fun game. I liked it. I like the overall art. When my only complaint is that they should have a little card that actually explains the actions, I mean, that...
It's nothing.
Yeah, in the overall scheme of things, that's a pretty minor complaint. And if I was going to play this game a lot, I could make my own.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm thinking. I bet you because one of the things, and I think I mentioned this to Jason, but like there's a website called Board Game Geek where they have all the board games and stuff like that. And a lot of the forums will have somebody who'll be like, guess what? I made these little cards. All you have to do is just print them out. I guarantee you I can go on there right now and find one and print it out, and I probably will.
Yeah, well, thanks for not doing that and making
I didn't think about it until now, until you complained about it.
We didn't know how passionate you were about
it. No, it's a really good game. I like this. So, being the novice of the group, is there a name for a game like this, for the style game where it's like the tiles like this?
Probably tiling. Yeah.
Tiling game.
Yeah, tile laying, and then coin collecting or something like that. I can't remember the exact thing. Yeah, they always have something.
I would primarily say tile.
Because this is similar to some of the other games we've played where there is some of that tie-in, you know, the ones that we were talking about, Orleans and whatever, Pandemic and things, where there's some similarities. But I like I like this tile-laying kind of game where you draw and you plan it out and everything and build your map, if you will.
Yes.
Map building.
Right. And it was fast enough, I feel like this one probably could be a good midweight filler also.
Another end of the night thing, I guess.
Yeah, I think once you know how to play it and set it up and everything, which the gameplay is fairly simple. You know, again, if you've played it before. Yeah, if you've played it before, or you have something, or, you know, or you have a Kurt or a Mike or somebody that's sitting with the instructions in their hands going...
Or Jason.
I mean, definitely not me. Definitely no.
Well, definitely not me, I guess.
No, where it's good if you've got somebody with the instructions there to just point out, like, okay, that one is this, that one is this, that one is this. Yeah. Where the gameplay is pretty quick, and if you do play it regularly enough where you know all the actions, you can go through it really quick. I like it. Mm-hmm. It's a fun game. It's cool to look at. It's cool to play.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
You can practice it on Board Game Arena for free, Jason.
Nice. Can I?
I think it's...
Sponsorship deal.
I hope they come out with, like, us, like... Again, I feel like we're going back to the other episode we talked about, the River Valley Glassworks. I kind of hope they come up with, like, a mini expansion that kind of, like, futzes with some of, like, the scoring and stuff like that. I think that'd be fun. Or add more events or something like that. Yeah, I think that would be
switch
fun.
Switch it up. Were there a lot of different events to choose from?
Let me see. You know what? I've got the game in front of me here. I'm just going to look at it. You know?
There was four. Like, is it always those four?
Well, no. This just came out last year.
Oh, it's a new game. Very cool.
That's what I wanted to look, because I was like, give them a little bit of time.
And it's a remake of a older game, actually, too. So, yeah, they might end up doing it. So, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15 different events.
Nice. So, so every game would be slightly different enough, too, to really keep this one lively.
Yeah, so get over it, you guys.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Yeah, very fun. Middle Ages, Studio H, Marc Andre.
Thank you to the recommendation at whatever that board game is.
Yes, oh my gosh.
Milwaukee was, what is it, a bar, was it a bard place?
I don't remember.
Nope, totally forgot.
Yep, terrible. We should have
remembered. Sorry, but we like you.
Give him a shout out on the socials, maybe, if we remember.
Yes.
I'm not going to remember because I wasn't there.
No, you weren't there.
No, you weren't there.
Unfortunately. That's okay.
You wished you were.
Yeah.
I absolutely wish you were. If there's a place that's going to refer games like this, I want to go there.
Yeah, that's right.
And we also want two brewer games.
Yes.
Two brewer games.
Yes. Just add on top of it. Yeah, so Middle Ages, check it out. Go to Studio H's website, again, or local game store.
Go to your local game store. Go to your local bookstore.
Yes.
Check out your local butcher shop. Shop local.
That's right. Always. Always.
Small businesses, baby.
Give it to them. They deserve it because they're doing all the work.
Nailed it.
That's right.
Give it
all right.
to them.
We've done our work, and now we're going to be going off into the sunset. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Jason.
And this was the MFG Cast.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.